Welcome to The Geek in Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal industry. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert. So Marlene, I can tell that it's summertime because one, we're getting those afternoon thunder showers, so you may hear some thunder in the background here. But, but the biggest way I can tell is that, you know, I get up in the morning and go to work, and my family who works at a public school system are just sound asleep still as I walk out, and it will be that way until August, until they go back. Usually it's the other way around. Usually they're out the door before I am.
Yeah, that sounds like my family too, except they don't work in the public school system. They just attend the public school system.
Yeah. Well, we have a longtime friend on the podcast this week, Kurt Meltzer, who's principal of Meltzer Consulting LLC, and formerly with organizations like Laterra, Oric, Norton Rose Fulbright. I'm sure there's a few more that we don't want to necessarily run down the entire list. But Kurt, welcome to the Geek in Review. It's good to see you.
Thanks, Greg and Marlene. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
So Kurt, you wrote a couple of LinkedIn articles recently where you point out that 95% of the Am Law 200 firms have dedicated websites for their pro bono, access to justice, and community outreach efforts. In addition, many e-discovery vendors and legal tech companies are also involved in supporting their communities, but there are some companies in legal tech who do not prioritize giving back the same way that law firms and corporations do. So what was your motivation to start looking at this area of pro bono and community outreach efforts in the legal industry?
Yeah, as you noted, I've been in the legal tech industry a long time, over 40 years, and I've been about half the time on the law firm side and about half the time on the vendor side. So I've got a perspective based on participating in both. And while I was at these law firms, I worked at five different law firms. Every single one of them had extensive pro bono programs, and they engaged in various community projects as well. I volunteered time working at local schools in Minneapolis through one of these firms, and participated in other community activities as well. But of the six legal tech vendors I work for, only one, the largest one of those, LexisNexis, ever did anything remotely along those lines. So it presented a pretty significant contrast in my mind and made me wonder, why is that so different? And a lot of this has come about by the recent growth in the ESG movement, particularly within larger corporations, who have noted the value to their companies about their engagement with the community. It's just good business. It's very simple. It's good business. There are many studies that have shown the financial performance has improved once corporations embrace an ESG program. Once their own companies, B2B customer relationships are enhanced because of mutual involvement in these activities, they also find a tremendous increase in attracting and retaining employees, and it increases employee productivity and their motivation as employees feel increasingly good about their employer. So there's a lot of good reasons for every company to be doing these things. And obviously some have more resources to devote to that than others, but there is benefit associated with everybody. And I see a big gap in the legal tech community, and this is perhaps my way of trying to give back by alerting people and making them aware of it and trying to get a little more activity on the vendor side.
This is probably an obvious question here, but do you think the law firms are doing it only because this is something that basically the bar associations kind of require us to do, that there has to be so many hours of community, you know, working in community or pro bono work, and there's not necessarily that same requirement on the tech side? And let me spin it another way. If we didn't have that requirement, would we be more like the legal tech companies and not doing it because we don't have some regulatory board looking over our shoulder?
Well, I'm a glass half full kind of person, so I believe that law firms would do it regardless. I think it's part of the tradition of the legal profession is to give back. It's not a requirement. They're not a regulated industry, but they want to do it. And I think it provides a lot of fulfillment to lawyers. Many people in law firms who are engaged in pro bono activities have more client engagement with their pro bono clients than they do with their corporate clients. And they see things through to fruition, and it's a different motivation in that in most of large law firm work, you're helping rich people get richer. But in pro bono work, you're helping people with really serious personal issues relieve those issues and help them have better lives. And while it may be, there may be some economic incentives to do that, there's a different level of satisfaction you get from doing that sort of work. And I think that there's enough of this in the traditional legal profession that it will carry on no matter what bar associations might require. And secondarily, and maybe even more important in some cases, clients are asking law firms about their pro bono activities. They want to know, they want to encourage them to do more, and they may choose to work with law firms that do more for the community than those that do not. It all depends on their requirements, but there are a lot of incentives to have law firms continue to give back to their community.
Do you see this maybe changing from a generational standpoint? There's studies that, certain generations, like that is more important to them in terms of, giving back to the community. Do you see that there's any trend or will be any trend the other way?
I think it's very clear that there's a trend in that direction, and that's why corporations have been growing their ESG programs in recent years. I'm a member of the baby boomer generation. Don't hate me. And I know that there's very little other than what may be a minimum requirement or minimum obligation field for majority of people in that generation. But as we reach younger generations, millennials in particular, they are doing a lot more for the community. I think there's a lot of proof of that. So maybe it's just a matter of time, but I'm not patient enough to wait.
Well, what are some specific examples of community outreach efforts that have been undertaken by large law firms?
So there's lots, as we've talked about, the 95% of the AMLA 200, at least that I could find, emphasize their pro bono programs. And many of them emphasize it in their career pages. So they're trying to recruit people who are interested in giving back to the community. Most large law firms offer paid days or hours of service to their employees. Many, in fact, use Martin Luther King Day as a day of service, and they'll do things as groups, or an office of a firm will do something together on that day. That's become increasingly popular in recent times. And many of the efforts beyond simple pro bono work focus on causes that they believe in, supporting and preserving civil rights, protecting the environment, or ensuring access to justice. The access to justice is a huge issue for law firms because we know that a large percentage of the population doesn't really have access to the legal system because they can't afford it. And finding new ways to enhance the ability to deliver legal services to those with less resources is a very important goal for ESG in many law firms.
Do you find that most of the pro bono is sort of, I would say, more traditional pro bono, which involves representation? Or are you seeing any trend towards use of technology or sort of working in technology to develop, access to justice solutions or things like that?
There have been a number of really interesting developments on the tech side for access to justice, and it typically comes from one or individual legal aid organization. There's so many, thousands of them around the country. And if one gets somebody who volunteers time to say, what are the issues that are hitting your customers more often, they'll develop something like chatbots. Would be a great opportunity to help people answer questions they have about legal services. It is interesting that many people who are impoverished still have phones that they use to access the internet. You'll see on the streets of New York City, the public access to the internet and charging, you'll see homeless people charging their phones and, you know, using the service for free there, because it's almost a necessity just to live nowadays. So it's easy to access people with relatively low income, because almost all of them have access to the internet through their phones. And so building applications and accessibility to these services using these applications has really taken off in recent years. And I don't see any end to that in the near future. I think it's encouraging, you know, with all the generative AI work being done and chatbots being developed, that'll probably grow even more in the short time.
That would seem to be the path that we're on. So, Kurt, when you approach legal tech companies and you start discussing this idea, how do you approach them and say, here's kind of the benefits that you would get as a legal tech company by engaging into this corporate social responsibility initiatives that you're talking about?
I think it's very similar to any other corporation. You know, everybody's motivated by increasing performance, be it revenue or profitability or what have you. And there are many studies to show that this is the case. And also saves you a lot of money by enhancing your employee relationships, increasing retention, enhancing your recruiting capabilities. Getting and retaining employees is very expensive. And anything you do to help that will save the company a lot of money. But in terms of the disparity between law firms and legal tech vendors, it's really easy to have the conversation to say, look at what your customers are doing. Who are your 10 biggest customers? Look at their websites. You're more likely to see what they're engaged with, and think about how can you collaborate with them hand in hand to support the causes that they believe in. So those are ready-made, you know, nobody's going to say no. If you're a software company, you can donate software to whatever organizations they're working with. Many of them will have use for it. Some might not, but plenty will. You can talk about the kinds of services that you deliver if you're not a software company, and how can you help legal aid organizations enhance their ability to run their business or what have you. So collaborating with your customers and saying, what do you guys do? We want to help you further your causes. It's a very easy discussion to have. It's like when I was a CIO of a law firm and a partner asked me as a CIO, and what would you do to increase my business? How should I be thinking about increasing my business? And my response was very simple, that any marketing person would say, go talk to your clients. Ask them, sit down with them, don't charge them, and ask them what's going on in your business and what are the challenges you're coming up with, and listen to them. Because one of the things that clients always say the most is, my outside counsel doesn't understand my business. And that's because they don't ask, or they want to put it on the clock to ask. But if you want to enhance your business and create stronger relationships, listen to your customers. It's a very simple thing. So legal tech vendors should be turning around to their customers, maybe the ones that they're having trouble with, maybe the ones that they've let down in some way, and turn to them and say, hey, we want to help you in your efforts to whatever's important to the firm, access to justice or environmental concerns or civil rights, whatever. How can we help you in that cause and develop a relationship based on mutual interests? And that can only enhance the relationship and then the profitability for the firm as well. So it's not complicated stuff. I think people just get wrapped up in what they're working on and forget how simple it is to have those conversations. Who's going to say no to having that kind of conversation or that engagement? Anybody would be happy to have that. So it's really not a mystery. It's pretty straightforward. It's just common sense.
One of the things that we started discussing you coming on to talk on the podcast is because you had written a couple of LinkedIn articles and discussed from the law firm side of things and your perspective on that, and then on the legal tech company side of things in your second article, promising a list of players in the industry that were doing good works in the second article. But what are there any particular legal tech companies that kind of stand out for their commitment for giving back? And how can law firms effectively, you know, drive change in their legal tech providers regarding corporate social responsibility? In other words, kind of put the pressure on, maybe even start the conversation with them that we could use your help doing some either ESG or pro bono work.
Yep. I think the two that really stand out the most in the vendor community are LexisNexis and Thomson Reuters. They really put a lot of effort into ensuring the application of the rule of law around the world. Many people outside of the U.S. and some of the Western countries are not as fortunate as we are to live under the rule of law. Their safety, livelihoods are significantly challenged. They have a lot of variables that are out of their control. And while we may think things are out of control in this country, we're pretty safe by and by. So these two companies work all over the world with governments and corporations to further the rule of law. Now, if every nation followed the rule of law, that'd probably be good for their business too. So it's not entirely selfless. They have a selfish motivation, but that's great because it works for everybody. And so that's really a win-win. But they are, having worked at Lexis, and I know talked to a lot of people at Thomson Reuters, the employees are really proud of their company's efforts along these lines, and they've been sustained for many years at a great cost. And yes, those are very large corporations. But
yeah, that was going to be my question.
Yeah, they are giving back, and it's a significant commitment to them. And their top level people talk about it routinely. It is really, I believe, a part of their fabric, and it's very much admired. As much as we might criticize them for some things from time to time, I think they both do a really great job. And Bloomberg does as well, as do many others in the legal research area.
Well, I was just wondering, since you mentioned really the two big players in the legal tech and legal information market, is this something that can be scaled down for smaller companies, or is this an excuse for smaller companies to not do it? Because they said, well, look, you know, you need to be a Thomson Reuters or a Lexis in order to really have that type of capability. Do you see it that way?
No, I think any company of any size can do this. Now, if we look at the low end, if we look at startups, and there are so many startups in the industry, you know, those individuals are working 100-hour weeks and they're losing money. It's hard to say that they could devote some of their resources to giving back to the community. But at some point, if they're making any profits at all, these companies have to start thinking about giving back. So it's pretty easy for most software companies. They can offer their product for free to any type of charitable organization, most notably legal aid organizations, to enhance the access to justice. But there's a cost associated with that, because then they have to help them implement it and support it. So yes, it will take some of their time, but they don't have to charge for the software, right? That should be within reach of many, many companies. And again, if they're looking for organizations to work with, just turn to their customers. They could probably give them a dozen right off the top of their heads. So I don't think it's asking a lot to do that. And the other point is that a lot of people in every walk of life volunteer their time to help their community in one way or another. Their employers should reward them for that and recognize them for that. They don't have to give them money, but just recognition and thanking them for doing that, and then talking about it to their customers. Well, we have X number of people volunteer Y number of hours per year, and making it important part of the culture of the organization. I think almost anybody can do that. It doesn't have to cost money. You don't have to spend millions of dollars to do this. It's, you know, just everyday people do things to give back to others. And it's important to recognize and appreciate that, and let your customers know that you're doing it as well. I don't think it's asking a lot at all.
Kurt, your second article, you had mentioned you were going to provide the list, and you did so. So you have the list of I think it's 41 companies and links to their community focus pages. And you encourage readers to go and check those out. What motivated you to actually put a list together of the vendors giving back to their communities? And have you gotten any feedback on it?
That's a great question, Marlene. I believe that transparency is critical to foster change within any organization. And so it occurred to me that I should highlight those organizations that I could readily find that are doing something to give back to the community. So I did find 41, but I also found 39 that do not appear, at least from their website, to give back to the community. They're not talking about it. So I decided not to include those 39 at this time because I don't want to embarrass anybody. I want to encourage them. You attract more flies with honey than with vinegar, right? So in the course of this process, I spoke to one vendor, said, this is what I'm going to do. And he said, well, we do a lot of stuff for the community, but we don't have anything on our website about it. I'm like, why not? Why wouldn't you do that? That's a positive for your company. So 2 days later, they had a community page on their website, which was great. So I'm really about starting the conversation. I don't think we'll have a sea change anytime in the near future. I think it might take a long time to really make an impact. But I thought this would be some place to start off. And the next step really is to have customers ask their legal tech vendors about their efforts to give back to the community. And the more people that ask, the more these companies will recognize that it's important and they'll do something and we'll see results. And that would really be great. But you've got to take small steps in order to reach the goal. And so I'm at a point in my career now where I can do this. I don't imagine I'm going to get any income from this effort. I'm doing it because I think it's the right thing to do. And I'm happy to be able to get back in this small way. And hopefully, you know, it'll make a difference in a handful of vendors in the near term and more and more over time.
Kurt, I know when you were pulling this list together, you had some concept of how you were going to, you know, kind of pick the companies that you wanted to look for. What kind of criteria did you use to gather who was going to be looked at and then also what was going to be looked at?
I like to think of myself as a person who believes in science, but in this case, I implemented a very unscientific methodology. The first thing I did was I went to the ILTICON sponsor list and I started at the top and I worked my way down the list. And I looked at most of those vendors. I know I left off a few smaller ones. And then the second place I looked to was Legal Week exhibitor list. And I at least pulled out companies I had heard of. There are a lot of companies I hadn't heard of. I'm not an e-discovery expert. There's a lot of e-discovery vendors at Legal Week. But I pulled out a bunch more that were not on the ILTICON list. And then the third source was thinking off the top of my head, what are the companies that law firms spend their technology dollars on the most? So number one is always Microsoft, right? So let me put Microsoft in there. And then I added Dell and Cisco and many other very large corporations to the list because I thought it would be interesting and enlightening for people to see, oh, what do the big guys do? And you'll see they have very extensive coverage of their ESG efforts on their websites. Because again, it makes good sense from their business perspective. So I do not claim to be comprehensive in this list. And in fact, of the 39 where I couldn't find anything, maybe they do have things on their websites and I just missed it. That might say something about how they could enhance the ability to find it. I didn't go into all the press releases that may have said something about that. There are so many press releases. I didn't focus on that at all. But I was really looking for ESG efforts. I'm leaving out the whole diversity area, the DEI spaces. I think a different discussion. Mm-hmm. And so I purposefully left that out. You know, that is also a very important topic, but not part of the conversation that I'm having at this point. I'd also like to encourage any company that I may not have listed that has something to share to reach out to me, as I say in these articles, And I'd be happy to add their names to the list the next time I update it.
As you were going through and doing your observation and investigation into the websites, for those that you found were doing some type of social outreach or ESG, did you observe any kind of pattern or trends among those vendors on what they were committing to and how they were giving back? Was there any trend to that?
As I said before, obviously, the larger the company, the more likely they're going to do something. The more B2B engagement they have, the more likely they're going to be doing something. I think it's interesting that most of the companies that do something, apart from the very largest ones, don't talk about their involvement in the access to justice movement. It's all about community activities. It might be, you know, supporting various charities in their neighborhoods, raising funds for them, volunteering their time. Many of the companies have a headquarters office where the largest group of their employees will be located, and they'll work with those communities locally. And that's all great. It's wonderful that they would do that. You know, they'll give their employees time off, and they'll have employee recognition programs for their volunteer efforts, but most of them are not involved in access to justice. And again, that's what their customers are doing. So I think they should consider how they can assist in the process, as I said earlier, by collaborating with their customers.
You know, you have the data on what companies are doing. You're aware of trends and patterns that we've talked about. So it's a natural next question to say, you know, do you envision some sort of rating system or ranking system for the community efforts? You know, what factors would you consider in this process? Or would that just kind of destroy the whole purpose of what you're trying to accomplish?
It might. I think it'd be controversial. That really is a great question, and I don't have a simple answer at all, but it is something that I've spent some time thinking about. There are various rating systems for DEI efforts amongst law firms. Some of them are more controversial than others. Some require the law firms to pay fees to participate, so that it creates some less than ideal incentives, I think, for participating. But, you know, if I were to suggest something, it would probably have to vary a lot depending on the type of products or services that each company offers. I think there'd be some sort of combination of both objective and subjective data. Simple question for software companies is, do they offer their software for free to legal aid organizations or any other type of charities? Research companies provide a lot of free research services. You know, depending on their products or services, who are they supporting? But measuring the scope of their commitment, I think, is important as well. Because if it's a one-time, you know, we donated a dozen old computers to a local charity, like, okay, that's nice, but that's not really the commitment. You were going to get rid of them anyway. We have to figure out a way to rank that sort of thing. We should look at, you know, what percentage of the employees are participating in these programs? Or what's the total value of the products or services donated as a percentage of your, you know, corporate gross? Some people aren't going to tell us that, private companies, but they could provide those percentages, and maybe that would be meaningful to some law firms. But really, I don't have answers to this, and I would love to have some suggestions from any of your listeners on the best way to create a rating system. Maybe they have some examples of similar things that I could turn to. And I imagine, you know, if I ever get to that point or enough people start asking for it, then I'd have to pull a group of people together and get a diverse perspective on how to do that in as fair a way as possible. And I bet it'd be a lot of effort and create a bunch of controversy, but it may be worthwhile to do so at some point.
We've mentioned ESG a few times on this and how corporations are using that to help them do their community outreach and some of their efforts in supporting access to justice and environmental issues and so on. And there's kind of a, I think a few years ago, there was a big movement to do this, and there's kind of been a little bit of a backlash to that. One side of the coin is saying that it's greenwashing, that you're just saying that you're doing this, but you're really just kind of doing business. You know, you're highlighting a few things while you're, you know, kind of underplaying some of the other stuff that you're doing. And then there's some other folks that may be saying, look, you're a business, you know, stay out of this other stuff, the kind of wishy-washy stuff, and do what you do best. And by doing that, that's the best way for you to serve. Are you seeing any of that hitting some of the legal tech or even the law firm areas, getting some a backlash for ESG?
I don't think so. I think the law firm business is different because of the history of pro bono service. They've been giving to the community for a long time, and they strongly believe in the value that it provides, not only to them, but to their community. So very few other industries have that sort of commitment. I'm sure the medical profession has similar perspective, and they do quite a lot for the general public well-being. But most large corporations don't have this kind of history. And so it's easier to question their motivations. But in the legal profession, it's been rock solid for decades, if not over a century.
So and do you think that the legal tech industry will benefit by, you know, kind of correlating or, you know, aligning themselves with what the full legal, you know, what the law firms and others that are in the practice of law are doing? Will that kind of buffer them from some of the blowback that may have hit more of the corporate environment?
I think because most of the companies in the legal tech profession are private companies as opposed to public companies, they're not subject to as much scrutiny. Mm. And the scrutiny that they care about most is their customers. And if they're collaborating with their customers on their ESG efforts, they'll get nothing but positive feedback. So I think it's very different. There, you know, there's a handful of public companies, and maybe their pushback would be different, but most of the legal tech profession are private, so it shouldn't have an impact.
All right. Well, Kurt, we're at the point now where we ask our crystal ball questions. So I want you to pull out your crystal ball and peer into the future for us. And what kind of changes or challenges in this area do you see over the next, say, 2 to 5 years, both on the law firm side and on the legal tech side?
Well, let me address the legal tech side first. There is a sea change in going about in the legal tech industry these days, and that's due to the amount and volume of private equity that's being invested in the legal tech community. There's a lot of big PE companies that have made investments, very well-known ones such as Bain Capital and Oakley Capital and Warburg Pincus. And then there's many, many others that have made investments in legal tech. And private equity companies are not always the best long-term stewards of their member companies. They make a lot of decisions based on short-term bottom-line decisions. So their motivations don't always align long-term with their companies, their employees, or the customers, most importantly. So that makes it a lot harder to try to convince these companies that they need to give back to the community. So the only way to get their attention is to have increasing numbers of customers ask the vendors about their ESG efforts. And then, frankly, if they don't like the answers they're getting, choose a competitor and make sure that's known to these companies. And once they see their revenue impacted, then it becomes clear that they have to do something about it. So that's really a big motivation for me to raise awareness, because if nobody asks, nothing's going to happen. And as these private equity companies increasingly come into the industry, which it seems there's no end to that in sight, they'll have to realize that this is a cost of doing business in the legal community, and they're going to have to consider whether or not they want to do it. So that's kind of a cloudy future from my perspective. I'm really unsure about that, and maybe that'll blow over, and you know, maybe that won't be a big issue, but I'm very, very concerned about it. And then for law firms who have a long history of working with relatively small vendors in the legal tech community, full of very brilliant entrepreneurs that we've all met over the years, it's easier to affect change among smaller companies as the size of these vendors grow. It's harder to get them to be responsive. So I think that there's a couple of big challenges there, and we'll see how it affects ESG efforts in the near term. But if you don't start asking the questions and if you don't raise awareness, nothing's happening. And that's why we're talking today. I really appreciate it.
Well, Kurt Meltzer, principal of Meltzer Consulting, LLC, I want to thank you very much for coming on here and talking with us here at the Geek and Review, and keep doing the good work.
Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you both. It was a pleasure.
And of course, thanks to all of you, our listeners, for taking the time to listen to the Geek and Review podcast. If you enjoy the show, share it with a colleague. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out to us on social media. I can be found at GabeBauerM on Twitter.
And I can be reached at Glambert on Twitter. Kurt, if people want to continue the conversation, where can they find you online?
I am C. Meltzer on Twitter. I'm also on LinkedIn as Kurt Meltzer. And you can also go to my website, MeltzerConsulting.com, M-E-L-T-Z-E-R, consulting.com. Thanks.
Listeners, if you want to leave a comment or a question, you can leave it on our voicemail at the Geek and Review hotline at 713-487-7821. And as always, the music you hear is from Jerry David DeSica. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. All right, Marlene, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
But I'm